From Washington, this is Talking Tax. I'm David Schultz. So, looks like we might have a holiday coming up soon, and I'm not talking about Easter or Passover. I'm talking about a gas tax holiday. According to Department of Energy data, as of this week, the average gas price is higher than it's been in a decade and a half, and that means politicians are grasping for anything they can do to bring that number down and fast. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Would a gas tax holiday accomplish this goal? And even if it would, is it a good idea? We'll be hearing from two researchers with the Urban Institute's Tax Policy Center, one talking about a federal gas tax holiday and the other on state-level holidays. And not to give anything away here, but both of them think this policy idea is nothing short of foolish. Let's start on the federal level. Howard Gluckman is a senior fellow at the Urban Institute and the editor of its fiscal policy blog, TaxVox. He spoke with Bloomberg Tax reporter Kaustuv Basu about the finer points of a gas tax holiday, and Kaustuv started off the interview by getting right to the point.
So some Democrats in Congress are talking about a federal gas tax holiday. Good idea or gimmick?
Gimmick. I think there are a number of problems with a gas tax holiday, either on a federal level or on a state level. The first problem is that with gas prices so volatile right now, I think consumers are barely going to notice the change. The other issue is, it's unlikely that consumers will get the full benefit of any tax holiday. It's more likely that producers or stations will end up with at least some of the money from the tax holiday. So that's not going to help very much. If you're worried about inflation, a tax cut like this is likely to increase prices, not lower prices.
So you are saying a federal gas tax holiday will do nothing to curb inflationary pressures?
That's right. The Economics 101 says that if you cut taxes, you're going to increase demand. And at a time when supply is so constrained because of what's going on in the world, that increased demand is just going to force up the pre-tax price so that you're going to get more inflation, not less.
So everyone has an eye on the midterm elections, and we know that sometimes perception is everything. Can a gas tax holiday help the Democrats during the midterms?
You know, I understand the temptation of politicians to want to do something with something as noticeable as inflation. But the reality is that elected officials can't do very much. That's going to be up to the Fed. So that temporary cut in taxes may on the margin help Democrats a little bit. But as I say, I'm not sure that consumers are going to notice very much. The tax is likely to come off in many places before the election. And if inflation comes down, that's going to be mostly thanks to what the Fed does, not thanks to what politicians do. So it's going to be hard to know how much impact this is going to be. Frankly, I think what's going to help Democrats in the midterm election is the end of COVID, if that's really true, and the end of this war. Those are the things that are going to help, and a gas tax is going to do much about either one of those.
Now, several states are also seemingly moving forward with a gas tax holiday of their own at the state level. How is that different?
So we count about a dozen states that are already looking one way or another at some sort of gas tax holiday or rollback of proposed increases, already legislated increases in gas taxes. So it's become very popular, not only in red states, but also in blue states. Gas taxes in states tend to be quite a bit higher than the federal gas tax. So that a tax cut, for example, a state like Maryland, the tax is 37 cents. So a 37-cent tax cut is something that's probably a little more noticeable for consumers, but it's still going to have the same problems. Much of that tax cut is likely to end up in the pockets of oil companies, not in the pockets of consumers, and it will be an opportunity for prices to actually go up, at least pre-tax prices to actually go up. So much of the benefit of a tax cut like that is simply not going to help consumers.
So what has worked in the past during gas price surges? Anything that, you know, policymakers can kind of take a look at?
So, I mean, it's an interesting thing, right? Gas price surges, you know, have different causes. This one is largely because of a supply problem. And a worldwide supply problem is nothing that politicians can really deal with. You know, in the very short term, we could release some more gas and more oil and gas from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. That would have a little bit of short-term benefit, but not a lot. There's a lot of talk about, well, we could expand oil leases, but those production from those oil leases won't come on for months or years. So that's not likely to have much short-term effect. The best thing that can happen is that the war in Ukraine ends and we get back to a more stable supply of energy.
And now, if there was a gas tax holiday, the trust fund that is used to support highways and bridges, they would lose out on money, right? As much as $20 billion, according to some estimates.
So the trust fund is supposed to be funded by a gas tax. It hasn't been funded by that gas tax or fully funded by that gas tax in decades. As you know, the gas tax was never adjusted for inflation. So the economic value of that tax is much less than it was when the current rate was first adopted. So the federal trust fund already has a giant pothole in it, and this will only make that hole bigger. Congress just enacted last year a huge infrastructure bill, which anticipates major infrastructure construction of roads and bridges and public transit. They needed general funding to fund that before. They're going to need even more general tax revenues to fund it now. That's the price that people pay for this very low federal gas tax, is the decrepit condition of our roads and bridges. And to the degree we're reducing the tax even more, if we do it, condition of roads and bridges is either going to be worse, or we're going to end up increasing the budget deficit, borrowing more money to help pay for something that the gas tax should have been paying for.
What can policymakers and consumers do differently as we look to the future?
Well, I think one of the things that the current dramatic increase in gasoline prices tells us is this is yet another reason why we need to think about weaning ourselves off of fossil fuels and think about alternatives. So over the long term, what consumers are likely to do if prices remain high is go to electric cars or other much more fuel efficient cars or cars that use less fossil fuels. So it will, over the very long run, change the way people consume. They're not going to drive less. We've sort of been through this before, and consumers don't change that pattern very much. But they can drive more energy efficient cars, and I think we'll see that. But that takes a long time. It takes a long time for people to make the decision to buy a car. It takes a long time for the cars to be produced. And as we know, there's also shortages of new cars right now. But over the long run, I think this will be just another incentive for people to reduce their use of fossil fuels. As far as what politicians can do, as I say, there's very little that politicians can do in the short run about inflation. That's something that needs to be left to the Fed. The best thing the politicians can do about inflation is not make it worse by throwing more money out there, either in the form of tax cuts or more spending.
That was reporter Kaustuth Basu speaking with the Urban Institute's Howard Gleckman. Now we turn to the States, and we're hearing from Howard's Urban Institute colleague Lucy Dedayan. She's a senior research associate at its Tax Policy Center, who specializes in state tax policy. And Lucy spoke with Bloomberg Tax's Donna Borak about what's happening in the States. She started off by saying that low-income Americans are being hurt the worst by high gas prices. But
having said that, I think politicians and policymakers at the state level are again making some mistakes. Those proposals by many states across the board, both from Republican and Democratic states, from blue and red states, are not really gonna provide the relief to everyday Americans. It's important to understand how gas taxes work. So the gas taxes are a fixed Right, they are not like percentage of the price, but a fixed amount, and those amounts have not been increased in decades in several states. And even if the states have increased the tax rate on gas, the cost of spending on infrastructure has gone up so much more. And it's important to understand that the revenues generated from the gas are primarily directed towards transportation spending funds. And if the governors in several states suspend, the lost revenues will have a significant impact on the budgets.
So just like you were talking about earlier, I mean, much of what has been proposed here seems to be temporary. Maryland, for example, has offered a one-month suspension of their own 37 cents per gallon gas tax. In Florida, they've imposed a one-month ban that wouldn't take effect until October. That's after the tourist season has ended. So because of the temporary nature of these gas tax freezes, I mean, it doesn't sound like it's really helping taxpayers at all, perhaps just maybe a great political soundbite for a lawmaker who might be running, gearing up for re-election.
Absolutely. Those temporary suspensions are going to cost millions for the states, for the state budgets, and are not going to save for everyday Americans. Like, we are going to be savings of no more than $100 in the best case scenario, depending on the tax rate in each state. I mean, for the moment, there are at least a dozen of states that are proposing such temporary gas tax holidays.
So then, to ask the obvious question, why are lawmakers and governors of various states pursuing this kind of policy if it really isn't going to help provide the relief that that they want it to?
Well, it's political gimmicks, and it's a mid-election year, so unfortunately politicians have to use rhetoric that will help them to get re-elected. And to be fair, like providing direct aid in the forms of rebate to the lowest income taxpayers is much more sound policy and rather than just suspending gas taxes.
So you mentioned rebate programs. California Governor Gavin Newsom has floated that idea. What makes that a much more effective policy to provide relief for residents?
So as far as I understand, California hasn't specified how they are going to do the rebates, but it's a much better policy if it's done correctly, if they provide relief to really low-income taxpayers. And let's not forget that gas prices are one part of the cost for the everyday Americans, but the overall costs, overall prices have gone up because of the gasoline prices, the skyrocketing gasoline prices. We see the higher prices at the grocery stores. And, you know, the gas taxes are very regressive form of taxes, as well as sales tax on grocery food is also a regressive form of tax, particularly that 13 states still have tax on grocery food. So it's much more prudent to provide rebates to lowest income taxpayers, and I am hoping that California will do it correctly.
So it also seems like there's some discrepancy in terms of how states are thinking about addressing this issue of pain at the pump. So New York Governor Kathy Hochul has said that she wants to be careful about cutting the gas tax, even as she's anticipating the gallon reaching $6. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer has signaled that she would veto a gas tax in her own state, but has been pushing for a federal for federal relief. So what is giving certain governors pause when it comes to pushing for a gas tax freeze?
I guess it's a matter of being a bit more prudent in their fiscal policy decisions. You know, we have been seeing strong revenue growth in the last year, and the revenue growth has been due to temporary factors. And it's good to see that governors in some states are realizing that the revenue growth was temporary, is temporary, and they are being more cautious in their decisions. It's good to see that some governors, like governors in New York or Michigan, are not falling for that and are being more cautious.
There seems to be, and we've talked about this, a tremendous amount of uncertainty that are facing states, even those that find themselves flush with cash. You know, geopolitical risks, supply chain issues, potential resurgence of COVID-19, federal aid dwindling. You know, can you talk a little bit more about how you see states balancing their own fiscal futures while also wanting to kind of give taxpayers relief during these historic crises, right? We haven't seen this in quite a bit, in quite some time.
Well, unfortunately, we are not seeing much efforts done at the state level, and it looks like that states are not really doing multi-year planning rather than just planning for the short term because of the inflation. Income tax revenues have been going up, particularly in the states that have progressive income tax structures and do not adjust their tax brackets for inflation. Another thing is that because of the high inflation rate, prices have gone up on goods. And when the prices go up on the goods, sales tax revenues also grow, because sales tax revenue, sales tax rate is usually a fixed rate percentage of the price. So the temporary impact of the high inflation rate is that the sales tax revenues goes up, but in the long run, consumers are gonna adjust their consumption behavior and are gonna be more cautious and either spend less or switch to cheaper products. So all of these are temporary factors that have boosted the revenues. And to add to that is the fact that states also got unprecedented help from the federal government, both in terms of CARES aid and ARPA money. So once the ARPA money runs out, which states have until 2024, to spend that money, states will find themselves in a really terrible fiscal situation because they are not going to have that money that they had from the federal government. And as a result of many cuts that they have either already enacted or are planning to enact, they are going to have loss of revenues and they are not going to be able to meet the spending pressures.
That was Lucy DeDion with the Urban Institute speaking with Bloomberg Tax's Donna Borak. And before that, you heard the Urban Institute's Howard Gleckman speaking with Kaustu Bossin. And that's it for today's Talking Tax. You can find up-to-the-minute news on latest tax and accounting developments at our website, news.bloombergtax.com. That website, once again, is news.bloombergtax.com. Today's Talking Tax was produced by myself, David Schultz. Patrick Ambrosio is our editor, and executive producer is Josh Block. From Washington, I'm David Schultz. Thanks for listening.
The number of words in the tax code is estimated to be 1 million, about the same length as the entire Harry Potter series. Add in IRS regs, rev rulings, and case law, and it can be a lot. We all need a little help to sort it out. Each week on the Tax Girl podcast, I talk to the best in the business. And these aren't crazy technical dives. They're interesting and easy to digest looks at topics that matter to you. It's all that you need to stay ahead on the most important tax issues. You can subscribe to the podcast for free on taxgirl.com, because paying taxes is painful, but hearing about them shouldn't be.